It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country. This week, very excited. No wineries. We've got Tom Simoneaux back with us, the original Sonoma County wine guy. I know that because I named him that in 1992. Also joining us, the worldwide infamous wine writer, Dan Berger. First time ever, I am amazed that we haven't had him in over these past 6 years of California Wine Country. But Dan, it's an honor to have met you today and to have you in, man.
And likewise for me. It's been a lot of fun to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, and you have heard California Wine Country.
Yeah, it was my regular thing, so.
Yeah, and okay. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dan Berger, and then he'll tell us a lot more about Dan Berger. But he's been a wine columnist since 1976. He's been in Sonoma County since 1986. He's syndicated all over the place. He knows everyone all over the world in the world of wine. And we'll get into more details on what he does. But I got to tell you that we first met today at lunch over across the street, and I did not know this, that he started in Southern California as a sports writer and then became a wine writer. And you started what, with the Associated Press as a sports
writer? Yeah, I straight out of college, I joined the Associated Press and I was a general assignment reporter and got into writing sports, went to the Olympics a couple of times and covered 10 Super Bowls and on and on and on. So.
And then, as I asked you earlier today, explain how you wound up going from sports to wine.
Really, it comes down to the fact that writing, when you're a good writer and you can put words on paper that really have a flair, there's a little bit of sense of humor, perhaps. Wine and sports really are both sort of the toy departments. There's no life and death here. It's all very simple stuff.
But you mentioned today that there's something new every time.
Yeah, and it's like every single year is a new process, whether it's the new vintage or it's a new team. Nobody thinks about the 1982 49ers anymore. They're talking about 2016. But each year was a different process. Each team represented a different thing.
And then the teams changed every year, just like wine
does. Teams change all the time, and wine changes all the time. And, you know, if the winemaker stays the same, but he's doing something different from what he did last year. So, and each time you see a winemaker make a change in the vineyard or in the winery, it just represents the new story. It upgrades or updates the story.
Dan was the full-time wine columnist and reporter for the LA Times from 88 to 96. And your LA Times wine column was carried nationally.
Yeah, it was carried by the LA Times Washington Post News Service, and I was in about 120 newspapers at that time. And things have shrunk a little bit. Newspapers are changing, and they're getting rid of wine columns. But that's okay. I'm still published here and there.
Yeah, Tom, your thoughts? You've known Dan for a long time.
Yeah, it's great. We've judged together. I've read your. How many books have you written?
Four. On wine.
Yes, on
and
wine. And
a book on San Diego and a book on... I got other books, but...
Dan Berger is not just a wine writer and wine critic. He's a journalist. And he's like a key... He kind of keeps you straight. Your weekly wine... Vintage Experiences.
Vintage Experiences.
How long were you writing that?
Newsletter. Yeah, we've been doing that. This is our 20th year.
Okay, I've probably been a subscriber for 15.
Right. Yeah.
So I sit there and read that, and I debate you. I agree. I sometimes disagree.
That's fine.
It's wonderful. It stirs your ideas. This, you know, especially these days when anybody could be a writer or a blogger or whatever, and a lot of times you go like, that doesn't sound right. Well, with Dan, you know you're going to get something that's thought out, that's correct.
That's researched.
You may not agree, right? But this guy's knowledge is unbelievable. And we're lucky to have him right here in Sonoma and here at California Wine Country.
Yeah, and your Press Democrat wine article, whatever, is once a week?
It's once every Wednesday in the food section.
Yeah.
And it's generally speaking about 500 words. It's not as thought out or as carefully drawn as some of the other stuff I've written, but this is fine. It gives me an opportunity to stay in touch with my readers, and it's distributed around the country. I have a couple of papers on the East Coast and a couple of papers in the South,
right.
And it's published in California as well with both the Press Democrat and the Napa Register.
And, of course, as a wine judge, you've done that at wine competitions mm-hmm. for a long, long time. And
yeah.
you just got back from upstate New York.
Yeah, I was in – actually, I judged the Michigan competition, and I judged the New York State wine competition.
I grew up in Detroit. I had no idea they were making wine in Michigan, really.
Fabulous wine now.
And it's really mostly exciting. Upper Peninsula.
Upper Peninsula. There are two separate regions up there. And then, of course, there's some down in the middle part of the state as well. The further south you go, the more humidity you get, and therefore the grapes rot. It's not easy to make wine there.
You mentioned Ohio today, and they're
Ohio
doing
is
some
making
good stuff.
Fabulous wine. There's about 75
amazing.
Wineries in Ohio now.
Wow.
And there's an Ohio Wine Producers Association. They're full of enthusiasm there and doing a great job.
Dan's going to now join us as my co-host every week here on California Wine Country, and we're going to be expanding to, as we just talked about, Michigan, Ohio, New York.
Let's not forget Chianti.
And yes, and you know, he's so into the scene all over the world that we're going to have people from all over the world. You know, it's going to be a great expansion on this program that is now 6 years in the running. It's going to be exciting, and Dan will now be with us every Wednesday. Tom?
Well, I think it's great because when we're judging wines, a lot of times we'll get to taste some of these wines from all around the country and some of these varietals that you have never heard of. And it'll expose all of us to, we're very parochial here in Sonoma County,
yeah.
You know, and we hardly like to go over the hill to Napa and we talk about that, you know, never mind, you know, the banana belt in Ohio, you know, and that
true.
Type of thing. So it'll,
and we haven't even, touched the surface of Virginia Cabernet Franc.
That's right.
That's going to be fun.
So yes, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting, and it'll be another learning experience for everybody.
Oh, completely. And Dan is so connected that he can get a hold of his people that he knows all over the country and the world, and have them ship wines to him, which he brings in, and we'll do a Midwest wine show and a, you know, Virginia wine show, New York. Talk about, you were talking about what they're doing in New York State, which I knew they were doing okay, but you're really impressed.
Well, first of all, Riesling is where the cold climate wine growing really has touched a home run. Some of the New York wines, I would say there are probably 50 wineries in New York making world-class Riesling now.
Unbelievable.
So 50 of them, and that's plenty of Riesling for anybody for a weekend. Then on top of that, you got all these other grape varieties. Viognier is being made in New York. We're starting to see Gruner Veltliner. We're starting to see Cabernet Franc. Some of the best rosés I've ever tasted were
really?
Cabernet Franc rosés from New York State.
No kidding. What about red wines?
Red wines are making Cabernet Franc into red, and that's really exciting. But also, within the last couple of years, we're beginning to see a little bit of Merlot. Cabernet Sauvignon is still a challenge back there. They just don't get enough ripeness, and those wines tend to be a little herbaceous. But we're also seeing now there's a grape variety that's a kind of a hybrid grape called Chancellor, and it makes a beautiful wine. Tom's tasted it in competitions. If it's made right, Chancellor is delicious.
Chancellor.
We'll never see it. We'll never see it out here.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's just a local phenomenon back there.
Some of the wines I find more interesting than good. I know Dan has tasted more than I have, but I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit parochial too. I venture outside my my comfort zone, but not to the point where I'm going to bring in, you know, case lots of Cabernet Franc from Virginia.
No, but I tell you right now, I'm in the process of purchasing a case of Syrah from the Finger Lakes, New York.
Wow.
It is fabulous wine from a small producer by the name of Billsboro.
Well, you'll have to bring a bottle in.
We'll bring it in as soon as I get it. It'll be on the show.
There we go.
We're going international on our Wine Wednesday show.
Yeah, let's see, New York, that's international.
Well, I mean, but no, we're talking about people from Italy France and stuff.
Right. Absolutely. We were lucky to have that gal come in from Vopaia, that's right. Castello di Vopaia.
Oh, that's one right, of the highest altitude wineries in the world.
Exactly. And she came in, the daughter. And she brought her wines. And it was fabulous. Mike Traverso,
Her last name is Stianti.
Yes.
I remember. Yeah. I visited.
There we go.
In 1990.
Wow.
And they invited us all out. So maybe we'll go together.
I'll go.
You ready?
I got to go to Italy.
The wines are terrific. And Mike Traverso was bringing them in through Wilson Daniels.
Oh, that's
fabulous. How we got her on the
that's
air.
That's fabulous. Wilson Daniels, by the way, brings in a rosé from the south of France. It's still available today for $19 a bottle. It's called Gassier, G-A-S-S-I-E-R, and it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Anybody who can find that bottle of wine, and don't take all of them. I want to get some more.
We asked both of you to bring in some interesting wines that you like or don't like or whatever. I know there's one that that Dan has that he's not a big fan of. And at lunch today, I said, well, let's. He didn't tell me which one. He brought two.
Actually, I do like them both,
But for different reasons.
But for different reasons, yeah.
We'll get into that. What are we tasting first here?
Well, the first one I brought it in because I know Dan enjoys some of the varietals that aren't quite as popular as Chardonnay and Cabernet.
Orphan varieties.
Yeah, there we go. And this is the Dry Creek Vineyards 2015 Clarksburg Chenin Blanc, right? They've been producing the Chenin Blanc for a long time. They do a terrific job. Winemakers Tim Bell, of course, Kim Stair Wallace and Don Wallace have continued to bottle this Chenin Blanc when a lot of other people are kind of, you know, eliminating Chenin Blanc from their portfolio.
What is close, for people who don't know about Chenin Blanc like me, what's it close to? Is it
Chenin
Sauvignon
Blanc?
No,
it's a... It's got the kind of the body of a Chardonnay, a little bit fruity. So it's kind of like a Pinot Gris kind of thing, would you say, Dan? What do you think of that?
In a certain way, there's a melon component in the aroma. It's soft and it's approachable, but it's not sweet. There's no sugar here. What's appealing about this wine is that it's so good when it comes out on the market. It's instant wine, basically, because it's from 2015.
Wow.
No aging.
It's fresh.
Sorry.
It goes great as an aperitif, sitting by the pool. You know, you could almost have this in place of a rosé. And, in fact, it probably was what people were drinking by the pool before rosé became quite as popular as it is today.
Right.
And it's $13 a bottle, and that's list price.
Yeah, this is about as good a bargain as you can find on the shelf today.
And right? Less at Bottle Barn.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah, probably so.
Nine
Dry
probably.
Creek Chenin Blanc, they sell it at the tasting room all day long for people who want to just do a picnic. And it's got a screw cap on it, so you just take it outside.
I love the screw cap.
Grab a sandwich.
And were you saying that you wrote about this in today's Press Democrat?
This was my wine of the week in this today's Press Democrat. And
you brought this in, Tom?
I brought it in for Dan. And I didn't read the Press Democrat today.
So
Dan goes, you brought the Chenin Blanc? So, like mine's here.
Well, this is an old vineyard. Actually, this is about a 30-year-old vineyard that was planted by Ken Wilson, who's a grower out in the Clarksburg area. And he's been growing these Chenin Blanc grapes for a long time. And Dry Creek has latched on to him and his wonderful fruit, and this is a fabulous example. Tim Bell does a brilliant job with this wine.
Yeah, and if people wonder, that's south of, it's on the Sacramento River, south of Sacramento on the way to Lodi. It's
really?
Kind of where
Clarksburg sort of in the
is.
Stockton Delta.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
It's delicious
and it's
wine.
No oak, and, nope. You know, it's you know, it's like easy wine. You don't have to go, well, what do I smell and what do I taste? And,
no, it just goes
you know,
down.
It just goes
it
down easy.
Great. Yeah.
And it's not sweet, but it's fruity. It's kind of, like I was saying, with that kind of Pinot Grigio kind of a feel.
I think it has more character than most Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, I'm not a big Pinot Grigio fan. A little heavy water, I sometimes call it, if it's not made correctly.
Perrier could beat it in a taste.
Yeah. So this Chenin Blanc, I wanted to bring it in.
We're not going
to
do a Perrier tasting.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, okay.
So anyway, I thought I'd bring it in so we'd have a little bit of fun with that. And Jackson,
really,
if
like
you want to take that bottle home, you're certainly welcome to do
Thank
that.
Thank you. I'm having chicken tonight.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Now. A dry Chenin Blanc. Wow.
Dry Creek Vineyards.
Okay, there you go.
Really good.
And there's only about 5 dry Chenin Blancs left being made today in California.
Really?
About 5.
Now,
give or take.
We got to take our break here, so I want to give enough time for this because it involves something that Dan brought that is the original, apparently, the original French spelling of Chardonnay.
Right. This is a wine producer by the name of Carneros Hills, and the name of the wine is Chardonnay, spelled C-H-A-R-D-E-N-E-T.
Chardonnay.
The original French spelling of the grape variety.
I got to find out how it changed. Was it France that changed to added the Y?
Or? I frankly have no idea. Whatever. But this is from the Durell Vineyard, and you can smell the fact that it was aged in French oak. It's got a little of that toasty character to it.
I get that, and I'm not a good nose guy.
It's nice and creamy. It's got a little bit of tropical fruit, a little bit of banana, maybe.
Yep. It's a rich, oily. Wow. Complex, I would say, pretty substantial Chardonnay.
Yes, absolutely. It's not overblown, though.
No, it's delicately done within that context of French oak. Now, the French oak character gives it this mid-palate weight and this concentration. But that's a lot of money. That's $65 a bottle.
Yeah. Really?
And I think the guy's crazy to call it that, but that's me.
Well, it's a new vintage for them, and they're going to see what they can...
I mean, if you're leeching on the shelf... But this baby has to be hand-sold, because you're going to look at that and go, Durell Vineyards, that's Sonoma Coast.
And that's a famous vineyard.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but Chardonnay, very well, so you're going to look at that and think, whoa, this can't be
exactly. So that's a little bit of a tough sell, but you know what? Niche marketing. Hey, how many cases made?
Not very many.
200, something like that?
Yeah, a couple hundred, probably.
I got to talk about, you mentioned, Tom, somebody mentioned banana.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? You guys are crazy. I took a sip.
And there it is.
And I got banana. Yeah. And you and I, Dan, were talking earlier today about trying to describe wine and how...
Putting words on wine is tricky.
Yeah. And I want to get into that because, again, as I've said before on this show, not being an expert, I'll take a sip and someone will say black pepper. And I go, wow, I never would have thought of that. But, yeah, I can taste black pepper. I swear I'm getting bananas here. And I wouldn't,
The tropical characteristics on this wine are probably from the fruit. The oak character is a whole different thing. So the amyl acetate that you referred to, which is the banana, that didn't come from any barrel.
No.
It came from fruit.
And that's the nice thing about grapes. And you were talking about it, they always change. One year is different than another. One growing region is different than another. Canaros is hot 10 years ago, then it was Russian River, now it's Sonoma Coast. Things are always changing. Yeah. It's movable.
Joining us, as I said, Tom Simoneaux, who's with us at least once a month, and our new co-host, you can read him in the Press Democrat and online, the internationally known wine writer, Dan Berger. Dan, before we taste this other one, and we'll put together the two wines again, we'll reiterate that, but tell everyone, besides... every Wednesday in the PD, how they find you and all the stuff that you write about.
Well, I write about wine every week in a newsletter called Vintage Experiences, which is a weekly publication. And we're in the process right now of converting over from a PDF format that we had been using for a number of years to the Internet. So we're going to move to the Internet format. It's going to look like a blog, but it'll be a weekly publication that only subscribers can access. And you can see the first paragraph of every article, but then after that, if you want to read the rest, you have to be a subscriber.
Sure.
We've been doing this for 20 years, and this is actually our 19th year, 20th year. And we started out as a fax-only publication.
Ah, that's how long ago it was.
I go back to the faxes.
Yeah.
That's how far ago
faxes. We had a guy, we charged roughly a dollar an issue. We had a guy who was costing us a dollar one for his fax machine, so that didn't work out.
Is it danberger.com?
No, actually the name of the publication is vintageexperiences.com.
Okay.
And there's a website there. It's pretty rudimentary right now, but we're upgrading it, and my son is helping me, so we'll get it straightened out.
Dan and I are a couple of dinosaurs, but our pencils are sharp.
That's right. Sharp pencils. But
talk about the Dan Berger International Wine Competition.
Dan Berger's International Wine Competition was started 35 years ago.
Jeez.
But it was called the Riverside International Wine Competition was held in Riverside, California, and for 35 years we held it in Riverside.
One does not think about Riverside and wine, I don't think.
Well, there's actually a Southern California wine industry based along a road called Rancho California Road in Temecula. And Temecula has got about 60 wineries now, and they make wine up and down that road, and they're doing a really good job. We started the publication, the wine competition, back in 82, and we've been running it for 35 years. Then we moved it last year, this year, actually. We moved it to Sonoma County. And the reason we moved it was there had been a number of people who had been running the competition for us in Southern California. They're really wonderful people, but they were getting on in years. And when most of our people moved past 80, we decided it was time to get a younger crowd of people running our competition for us. So we moved up here. So this first year in Sonoma County, we had about 2,100 wines. Jeez. And we had a wine competition. Our judges were from all over the United States. We brought them in from Kansas City and New York and everywhere. And next year, we're getting Tom in again.
Well, you brought me down to Temecula there a few years back.
Yeah,
so I got to experience the highway down there. That's an interesting. There's some nice wines down there, no question. But that is an interesting little wine growing region.
Well, they have access to about 22 million people in the population base. So
this is true. There's a lot of people running through the tasting rooms.
What do they specialize in down there?
Well, their basic thing is to look for the varieties that will be best in your particular soil. So there's a few Chardonnays that are fabulous. There's a few Zinfandels that are pretty good. There's a few Cabernets, but there's one winery down there that everybody should look for. It's called South Coast Winery, and they're doing just a fabulous job with everything.
And that's the resort.
Right. It's called South Coast Plaza Resort and Spa.
Really?
And their winemaker is John McPherson, and he's a stunning star. This is a guy.
They won the Golden Bear Award, State Fair Award.
Yeah, they're fabulous wines. Everything they touch is
what people would remember too is Callaway is down there. That's probably the one that people would remember.
They're
from
the big guy.
The older days.
They're the big guy, but South Coast has now usurped them in terms of quality.
And they make how many different wines?
Oh my gosh, I think he's got 35 or 36 different wines down there, and they're all excellent.
And that's where we stayed.
Right.
Vineyard around there, the winery, restaurant.
Yeah, we put everybody up in villas. It was great.
Nice. It was nice.
We had to finally move on because our crew was getting on in years.
Well, we'll probably join you then because, you know, the Seminoles don't travel that well. But here in Santa Rosa, I can make it to Santa Rosa.
The big city for you.
Yeah, the big city.
It's Tom Simino and Dan Berger. You can read him every Wednesday in the Press Democrat and all over the internet. And we tasted this Chardonnay. That's the original spelling of Chardonnay in France, apparently.
Right.
That's what we're told.
That's what they say on the back label, so we have to trust them.
This is the one we talked about that had some banana flavor in it, and it's totally interesting. Now, this other one is more like a Chablis, I think you guys said.
Exactly.
It's called Oceans Churning Caneros. Dan, tell us about this.
Well, Raj Iyer is his name, and Raj is born in India, and he came to the United States. He works in the pharmaceutical industry, very successful man, and he decided that nobody was making Chardonnay the way Chablis is made. Now, of course, Chablis is all Chardonnay, but in the United States, we tend to overdo it. So what he decided to do was to go to the old section of San Giacomo's vineyard down in the Carneros to get the oldest plantings of Chardonnay and then harvest those old plantings, make a very delicate style of wine that emulates Chablis. And this is what he did. Oceans Churning is the name of the wine. It's the name of the brand, Oceans Churning.
This couldn't be more different than the Chardonnay.
Absolutely. They're like opposite poles.
And Dan and I, while we were on our break, we went ahead and did our pre-tastings because we couldn't wait. And these two wines kind of defy terroir because the Durrell Vineyard is just across the street or up the street from the San Giacomo Vineyard.
So they're similar areas.
Appalachian areas in the corner of Caneros, and Sonoma Coast and Sonoma Valley, right in with us three. And remember last week we had Bob Cabral on?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Price III owns Durell. We had a Durell Chardonnay that Bob Cabral made from Three Sticks last week.
Right.
Completely different from this San Giacomo or this Durell.
Now, that was put into used barrels, and there's no new wood there at all. It's old barrels. And I think the difference is really interesting, whereas the Chardonnay, Chardennet, from the Durell Vineyard is more along the lines of a wine that you'd want to serve with some richer seafood, such as lobster with butter sauce. Here you've got Ocean's Churning, Chablis-style Chardonnay, which would probably go with sole or perhaps halibut or something like that.
Yeah. Chicken. Yeah.
Lemon chicken. Because it's mineral and lemon.
It's got that nice, spicy, sort of citrusy note to it in the aftertaste. What I like about both of these wines is that they really define how Chardonnay can be made in one style or the other style. And it's all Chardonnay.
Yeah. And the nice thing about this, too, is that it was in neutral barrels. Right, so you don't have to get a lot of newer oak where you get that butter from the stirring of the lees and the richness and the flavor of that intense toastiness and kind of caramelization that you get like almost like baked bread. And with this, with neutral barrels, you get a little bit of the oxidation. You get the uniqueness of each barrel, each 60-gallon barrel by itself. So you get unique flavors from each barrel. And without getting that big oak, feel how your mouth is watering right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
no,
you're looking for food before you, after you take a sip of this Chardonnay, you want some food to go with it.
Mike, go get some lobsters, won't you? Oh, no, this is sole.
That's right.
You know, as you know, Tom, I'm big into labels on wine bottles. I love this label because it says nothing. It has nothing on the front except
it's an Ocean Churning.
Ocean Churning. It's a beautiful label, and it's Ocean's Churning is the name of it. And
by the way, that's my reputation. My reputation got me the information about this wine. It's very interesting. I get this phone call from Raj Iyer, who I'd never met before, and he says, "I got your name from Daryl Cordy." Now, Daryl Cordy is a wine merchant and a food purveyor in Sacramento. And Daryl knows my palate. And when he tasted this wine, he said, "There's only one person who will appreciate most what you're doing, and that is Dan." So he calls me on the phone, and he was right. This is it.
Wow. I really do like this. And talk about Chablis. I mean, we know that you like Chablis. I'm not familiar. I don't know anything about Chablis.
Chablis is essentially 100% Chardonnay made in a sort of a manner that allows for the soil, the minerals, the slate, the Kimmeridgian clay that is in that soil to pervade the wine. So essentially what this is a wine that is yet to be at its peak. This wine needs about 4 to 6 more years in the bottle.
Really?
Whereas the Durell Vineyard wine, hey, you can drink it now and you could wait a couple of years, but basically you want to drink that wine.
It's time, yeah.
And it's time to drink that. This one, you want to put in the cellar. And this is one of the reasons why this guy is making this wine, because he's trying to make Chablis style. That is to say, a more complex wine once it gets bottle aged.
Is this, if you age this, is it going to be more or less like a Chablis?
It'll be more like Chablis as time goes by, because he's emphasized that in the way the wine is made.
Mm.
Terrific bottle.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Our final entree today.
Okay. Can we buy this time?
Yes, you can. Yes,
is a Simoneau Vineyard.
I had to bring it. I wanted Dan to taste it, so I said I got him captured here today.
You got great pH in this, the 3.5 or 3.6.
Yes, 3.6. Yep,
there
that's
you
what
go.
It is.
Geek alert.
Yep. Geek alert.
Our first geek alert. Explain the pH in
it's a measure of acidity, and this has got great acidity.
So this is my Fence Line 2012 Simoneau Vineyards. It's Cabernet Sauvignon-based Meritage blend that I grow on my southern fence and my western fence, and my driveway. There were my Bordeaux varieties. So it's this baby's 65% Cab, 21% Merlot, 7 Cab Franc, 6 Petit Verdot, and 1 Malbec.
Jeez. That's beautiful wine. So,
it really is. I've had this before. You've brought this in before. Yeah, this is really good.
This guy won a gold medal at the Harvest Fair this past year. And I think eventually, because I love my wines as they age, and this will age.
Oh, for sure.
This wine will be, I think, So far, it's the best wine I've ever made. So far. I'm hoping to make better.
It's very, very young.
Your Brenda Lee Shard is pretty damn good.
Yes, but, this is true.
Wow.
That's a beautiful wine, Tom. What is the retail on that?
$50.
And it's a bargain.
We sell it direct. And you can buy it, actually, at Bottle Barn. God knows what he's selling it over there for.
That's a beautiful wine.
Thank you. Yeah, my Cabernet Vineyard, we're 1 mile west of Jordan. That's where we are, on the bench, kind of going down toward the flat, what they used to call Vinegar Flats.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Côte d'Ivoire that.
And those guys are. And our Cabernet, it's three different clones. And
20 years ago, you'd never ripen that fruit.
You think so?
Vinegar Flats. That's
down there. I'm on the bench.
You're on the bench.
What does that mean?
That means that the land is elevated a little.
Just a little bit above the valley floor.
Oh, okay.
You got the valley floor, then you got the bench, and then you got the mountains. And the bench usually is what came down from the mountain. The soil slid down the mountain.
Gotcha.
And ended up on your bench.
Is it SeminoeVineyards.com?
Yes, yeah, SeminoeVineyards.com.
Okay, yeah. You got to check out Tom's great wines. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a traffic break here, and we'll be back to wrap up California Wine Country with Tom Simoneaux and our new co-host. We're so excited that he's going to be doing this with us on Wednesdays, the great internationally known wine writer Dan Berger. Again, we talked earlier about the late, great Ben Pearson, who was my co-host for like 6 years from Bottle Barn. He has passed away, and Dan is taking his place as co-host, but talk about a little bit about Bottle Barn, Dan. I mean,
that has been my primary source of wine purchasing over the last several years, probably at least 10 or 12. The secret to Bottle Barn is that Ben was so good at identifying wines of personality. To me, a wine without personality is not a wine. I just don't consider it wine. If it's got alcohol, that's fine.
They can call it a wine.
They can call it a wine, but it isn't wine if it doesn't have personality. And to me, distinctiveness was what he looked for. And that's what I predicate my column on, is distinctiveness. In fact, I've got a key on my computer where the word distinctiveness can be spelled out by hitting one key. Distinctiveness.
I like that.
And if you read his vintage wine experiences, he's all about this. Because you go recommended, very recommended, highly recommended, wine of distinction, distinctiveness.
Distinctiveness. Yeah, it's really important. And that's what Ben did. And he provided that to a broad audience. So that if you wanted to spend $6 for a bottle of wine, there was something there that had distinctiveness. But if you didn't mind spending $30 or $40, he had it all.
But yeah, Ben had it all. Yeah.
And the store really reflects Ben's personality.
All right, we have 1 minute.
All right.
Dan Berger, welcome, my friend. It is so cool to have you with us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Again, the website is
VintageExperiences.com.
Yeah, check it out, folks. Okay. And read them in the PD every Wednesday, Tom. I'll see you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Jackson.
All right, buddy.